Okay, sometimes you have questions on the parasha that require analysis, lumdus, thinking, analyzing. Sometimes they're just blatantly obvious and they jump out at you. In general, we believe that the Torah is a book that is extremely well written, and it's every word matters and every word counts and every word has something to teach us. And therefore, it's pretty shocking when you look at the beginning of Parshas Matos and you look at a list, just a list of places where we traveled, 42 stages of wandering in the desert, and you look for, okay, where is the Nechmada Mizav, Mipazrav, Masuku Midvash, Venofas Tzufim part of that? You know, the Torah is supposed to be so inspiring and so valuable and so critical. So to just hear about all the different places that we travel, it doesn't seem to be, it seems to be perhaps interesting for archaeologists, geographers, something like that. Doesn't seem particularly interesting for Bnei Torah. Doesn't seem particularly interesting for people who are trying to figure out the Dvar Hashem and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in this world. There must be some sort of lesson that we can glean from the fact that the Torah spends so much time on this. And almost as if to warn us not to take the list of places too lightly, the Torah prefaces the whole section with the words, "Ve'yichtav Moshe es motzayim l'masa'ehem al pi Hashem." This wasn't Moshe's idea. He did this al pi Hashem, the way many of the Rishonim explain it, Ramban amongst others, that the al pi Hashem part is not just saying that the Masa'os were al pi Hashem. That obviously was al pi Hashem. Where to go, when to go, right? That was all al pi Hashem, but the fact that Moshe wrote it was al pi Hashem. That was also something that the Pasuk is trying to tell us, that Moshe had to write this al pi Hashem. Don't think Moshe did this on his own, as if there was such a havamina that Moshe would ever do anything on his own. But the point is, perhaps trying to emphasize that there's something here, that there's something much deeper here, and it needs to be found. So there is a powerful lesson. So what I want to try to do, unlike what I normally do, I guess, is to just take two of the mainstream Rishonim and just share with you their very simple way of dealing with this question. And I think those two ways of dealing with this question can serve as a tremendous model for us in our approach to life in general, but particularly to the Avelus of Tisha B'Av in the 9 days and to the period of the Bein HaMetzarim that we find ourselves in right now. Rashi quotes a medrash, a mashal from Rabbi Tanchuma, that explains the point as follows. There's a son of a king who takes ill. Why does it have to be a king? Because it's always a king. So the king had to take his son to a faraway place to find a cure, and as soon as they came home, the father began to enumerate all of the stages of their travels to the child, saying, we slept in this place, we caught a cold over here, you had a headache over here, remember the challenge we had in this spot. So Rashi explains, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, write down all the places, so that eventually Klal Yisrael is going to look back, and they're going to be able to recount, oh, when we were there, there was that challenge, when we were there, we got upset about the meat, then we got upset, okay, all these different challenges and all these different things that occurred in different places, and that we encountered, all the hardships that we encountered in different places. In other words, what's Rashi telling us? That this entire chapter of our history is there to remind us that, yes, we got into Eretz Yisrael, and it was a phenomenal goal and was everything we were hoping for, but it didn't come cheap. There were struggles. Things don't come easily. Anything worth having doesn't come that easily. And we got Eretz Yisrael, but you can only become Eretz Yisrael through Yisurin. So we had plenty of them. Don't start revising history and going back and saying, yeah, Eretz Yisrael was handed to us on a silver platter. No, it wasn't. We had to go through 40 difficult years in the Midbar with lots of different travels and different places where bad things happened and difficult things happened and hard things happened. And only then were we able to get Eretz Yisrael. And this is intuitive. Anyone who's ever achieved anything knows that the achievement doesn't mean anywhere nearly as much if it's just given to you on a silver platter. Part of the geschmack in achieving something is being able to overcome obstacles in doing so. Rabbi Moshe Benovitz once told me that in the Al HaNisim, we say on Chanukah and Purim, we not only thank God for the Nisim, the Neflos, the Tshuos, we also thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Milchamos. Now what? We like war? No, we don't like war, but we understand that the Milchamos we had to fight played a critical role in making us who we are. Having to go through those battles made the achievement that much more sweet and that much more valuable. I once heard a story from my Rebbe Rav Silver Shlita, about a bacher who possessed a photographic memory and was introduced to the Brisker Rav. And they said to the Brisker Rav, you got to meet this guy, he's unbelievable, he knows all of Shas Bal Peh. And the Brisker Rav had a conversation with him, for a few minutes, and he was talking to him and learning different places. And the guy walks out, and they said to the Brisk Rav, "Nu, what do you think?" And he said, "It's unbelievable. I've met Amoratzim before in my life, but I've never met someone who's Nam Haaretz in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's unbelievable. A guy who everything comes so easy. He knows it all. He knows it all by heart. But if there's no Amelus and there's no depth, because there's no Amelus, then it's empty. The knowledge is as shallow as the effort. And obviously, on the positive side, knowledge can be as deep as the effort that's put into it. And as the toil, the Amelus, the work, the difficulty, the challenges that a person has in approaching something. Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Samach Amud Beis, called Masabalo Yerushalayim Zoche V'Roa B'Simchasa. It's not a sgula, it's not a trick. Because if you want to experience simcha in anything, you need to work at it, and you need to feel challenged, and you need to feel the hardships involved. And if a person, therefore, is not mesabel yushlaim, he just wants to show up for the party is not going to mean anything to him. The party is not going to be a real simcha for him. We know the Mishnais at the end of Sukkah tell us that the Hasidim v'Anshei Maisa were juggling fire. I was just learning this Gemara with my son today. He's like, 8 fires they would juggle. He couldn't believe it. At the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but it's Dafka the Chassidim the Anshei Maisa that express Simcha in such an incredible way, in such an overt way. Because the Chassidim and Anshei Maisa, when you toil your whole life into Hiskarvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're able to experience it on a much higher level. And you're able to experience the joy of it on a much higher level. So I think that's Nekuda number one that Rashi is teaching us. That the more we put in terms of effort to actually feeling a sense of Avelus of Yerushalayim, the more we work in advance in terms of preparation to get to the point where we can't just show up at the end of the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'ez Hashem brings the Gula and say, okay, we're here, we're ready. But not only that, even on a smaller scale, we can't just show up on Tisha B'Av and say, okay, now I'm ready to cry. Cry over what? Unless you work at understanding what it is you're crying over, and internalizing what it is exactly that we're being misabel on, without the effort in advance, it doesn't mean anything. It's all shallow. And the geula is going to be as valuable to us as the effort we put into our avelus in Yerushalayim. But there's a second explanation. And the second explanation is the Sforno. The Sforno writes that the travelings that are recounted are there to remind us how difficult it was in the desert, and that in spite of all those difficulties, here's the nuance of difference. In spite of all those difficulties, we, at the end of the day, remained loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, there were parts where we had some blips on the screen, where we did some pretty bad stuff. But for the most part, over 40 years, the Eretz Lo Zerua, traveling in a place where we had no idea where we were going, it was dangerous, we never knew what the next moment was going to bring. For the most part, we were pretty good. For the most part, we remained pretty dedicated. On a moment's notice, we had to uproot our entire family and hit the road again. And, you know, sometimes it could have been we were there for a couple of days and you have to uproot your family. It could have been that you were there for 18 years and you need to uproot your family on a moment's notice. Oh, clouds are moving. Got to get going. Fire's moving. And that's tremendous. That says a lot about us. It says a lot about Klal Yisrael. I'll never forget, must have been in fourth or fifth grade. I had the same Rebbe both years, that's why I don't remember which grade it was. But one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Zucker, came into class one day and he said, okay, everybody, we're going on a field trip. All excited, field trip, fantastic. And he brought us to the principal's office, the outer room of the principal's office, which was a tiny little room. He shut the lights, he said, sit on the floor. And we all sat there and we're like, this is the worst field trip ever. And then we sat on the floor. The second we sat down, he said, okay, let's go. On we go. And we went to the lunchroom, where it was much more spacious. He said, sit wherever you want, run around, make yourself comfortable. Stayed there for like 10 minutes. To us, that was like 4 years. I mean, it seemed like an eternity for a fifth grader. 10 minutes. And he kept on bringing us in. He took us outside. It was cold. And took us all these different places. And then we came back, and we're like, okay, that was weird. And he said, don't you see? This is what Klal Yisrael went through in the Midbar. They went to one place and they had no idea how long they were going to stay there. How cramped the quarters would be, how comfortable it would be, some of the places they liked, some of the places they didn't like, but that had no correspondence to which place they actually stayed in, which place they didn't stay in for that long. And on a moment's notice, let's go, you got to go, no wasting any time. It was a tremendous moment of chinuch. But we followed. Lechtecha acharei b'midbar be'eretz lo zeruah. So the lesson of this chapter in the eyes of the Sforno is to recognize our own godless. What might seem like the most depressing aspect of our religion, just carrying this forward to the avelus of the Bein HaMetzarim, what might seem like the most difficult and depressing chapter of our religion, which is going through on Tisha B'Av, as we read through the Kinos and we read through all the difficulties and all the challenges and all the persecutions and all the problems, it's also there to remind us that we're still following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're still here. There were many great societies that have risen and fallen, and we're still here. There are more Italians in the world than there are Jews. Nobody laments Rome. No one sheds a tear over it. No one cares about the glory of ancient Egypt anymore. It's not something that anyone cares about. Babylonia, Persia. Who cares? We understand that a people that knows how to cry will someday persevere in a time of laughter, and that we're going to be there in a time of joy. So on Tisha B'Av, in the struggles and in the suffering, we find tremendous hope and tremendous faith. So again, those psukim that list our travels in the desert are not meaningless. We learn the importance of suffering through hard times if we want to be able to achieve good times. And we also learn something about ourselves and about the godless of Klal Yisrael, the godless of the individuals that make up Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael as a whole. And with such an appreciation of who we are and how glorious it is to be a member of Klal Yisrael, then maybe we can mourn properly, suffer through the suffering of our people, and Bezus Hashem, through that, through being Mesabel Yerushalayim, Yizoch HaVeroa B'Simchasa.